This is Trends and Issues in Instructional Design, Educational Technology, and Learning Science, hosted by Abby Brown and Tim Green.
Hi, this is Tim, and I'm here with Abby.
Hi, this is Abby, and I'm here with Tim.
I'd like to welcome you to our 50th episode of our podcast, and this is a special edition where we re-recorded interviews from people in the field who attended the AECT conference, which was held in Indianapolis, Indiana. Abby, for those who may not know AECT, give us a little bit about what AECT is.
So AECT is the Association of Educational Communications and Technology. I suspect that very many of our listeners are very familiar with the event, with the organization, and probably attended the event itself. The event this year was about 1,000 people from the educational technology discipline descending upon Indianapolis, Indiana, and we had a wonderful time. And in celebration of our 50th podcast episode, you and I invited people to join us and describe what they consider to be the upcoming trends. We've got some really cool people from the field giving us their observations, so we're excited to share that with you. And gosh, you and I have been going to this thing for quite a while. This was my 21st year or something with AECT.
And mine too, I think since 1996 or seven. So it's been a while.
Yeah. And I was 1994 for me. But it's basically you and I have been going since the 90s. And we love it. We're very, very proud to be associated with the organization. But yes, so that's what we're going to share. We're going to share trends from people in the field.
Yeah, and we hope you enjoy it. Like usual, in our episodes, we also will pass along recommended readings, and we have two that we're going to pass along. And then we will end with our predictions, looking into the crystal ball. So let's jump into the six interviews that we conducted.
Hi, we're here with Tony Beatrice. And Tony, you are a professor at University of... Well, I'll let you do it because I butcher everybody's names and affiliations.
Right. So I am a professor at the State University of New York at Potsdam. We're the northernmost SUNY school. Very cold, but a lot of good stuff happening there. So, yes, I also am the STEM Plus Academies Director for the National Education Foundation in a partnership with our school. And as that STEM director, I kind of am in schools and I see what the teachers are using. And at this point, it seems like there's a general acceptance that technology has value and efficacy. Mm. And there's a real thirst for professional development, especially as it relates to STEM activities. But technology more broadly is also something that people are looking for in terms of professional development. So I see teachers using stuff like mobile apps or web apps. Kahoot is a big hit right now.
Yes.
So it seems that this is the time. We may have been waiting for this moment for the last 20 years where finally what we've been talking about pedagogically in our classrooms and colleges have now that information is now accepted, and beyond that, they're actually seeking out professional development for these.
So this
things.
Is an interesting flip for us in the field, is that instead of from the top down, people saying we have to get teachers and instructors and designers more involved with using the technology, it's coming from the field itself. The teachers, the instructors, the designers are saying, we want to use this.
Right. So essentially it's push and pull.
Yes.
And we may have seen a lot more push, you know, up until the last 5 or 10 years. And especially now I see a lot of pull. So that's the trend. So acceptance, yes, but it's more than acceptance. It's a thirst
enthusiasm.
And a need.
It's enthusiasm for it.
That pushes over into the pull space.
Yeah.
So that's what I see.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tony. Tony. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, we're here with Chuck Hodges. And Chuck, you are at, he's holding up his badge for me, Georgia Southern University. And Chuck Hodges is also the editor-in-chief of the journal Tech Trends. And so thank you for joining us. And Chuck, we're going to ask you, what do you see as trending right now in our field?
Thanks for having me as a guest. This is awesome. Trending in the field. Well, we are attending the annual meeting of the Association for Educational Communications and Technology. And I have been interested in a few themes I've picked up in the sessions I have attended and conversations. Those are MOOCs, but not MOOCs in the last couple of years, journalism, they're going to take over education, but
yes,
they're more critical analysis of the design of MOOCs and learning of MOOCs. And
more application.
It seems to me like at least we're finally getting in there and looking at what they're about and mm-hmm. how they should be designed rather than just, oh, they're going to save education. So
yes.
I like that trend. And sort of along with that, related to anyway, is learning analytics and all the big data, but all the many threads associated with that.
Yes.
Like privacy, who owns the data, IRB, where does the data live in the cloud? Is it
so management of the data,
yeah,
making sure that we know what we're doing with it, how we're using it in a safe and secure manner.
And the ethics of companies using it for profit.
Yes.
You know, kind of the freemium version of web tools. You know, what are we actually getting, what are we actually giving them to use the services for free? We're giving them access to the data and how that might be used
and
in
this,
good ways or bad ways.
And this kind of relates to a lot of the news that we've been reporting about the EdTech startup companies. It's become such a big business and such a potential for a larger business. We really do have to iron this out. So this is a good discussion at the conference for us to be having.
Yes, and there's so many different elements. There's ethics elements, there's policy elements, there's government elements. It's a lot deeper than I think I was thinking about it a few years ago.
So MOOCs and learning analytics,
That's it for me.
Those are your top trends. Well, Chuck, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm here with Albert Ritzout from the University of Florida.
Yes.
And Albert, thank you for
joining
us.
Thank you. Yeah.
And our question to you as an AACT attendee is, what trends do you see currently forming or continuing within our field right now?
Well, I would reflect on some of the research that I've recently done. I just got done analyzing 400 job announcements within our field to try and gauge what types of hiring patterns are out there in terms of what we're looking for.
So this is hiring for instructional designers?
We took a broader definition, so we took also e-learning specialists, instructional coordinators, you know, anybody that falls in the realm kind of what we do and who we train as professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed was a pretty large jump in the number of applications from the prior time that I had done this, particularly in the realm of higher education. So I think that's an indication that you know, it's consistent with the growth in online courses and programs and across the nation right now. So that's one observation. But I would want to qualify all of this with we were looking for competencies that professionals had within the field based on this job announcement analysis. And what we found was, consistent with some of our prior research, is that core skills in ID models, in understanding how to conduct learner analysis, soft skills, being able to get along and play in teams, verbal and written communication skills, things like this were at the forefront of our analysis.
Right.
So when we descriptively analyzed it, the presence or absence of those statements within the jobs themselves, those kind of floated to the top. So those are the areas that I would say are the most important and core to our field right now.
So, and I'm just thinking about the research that you did a few years ago and are continuing with this, and that this idea of the soft skills, the communication skill, the ability to write and verbally communicate well, this is a continuing trend for us, that this is something that employers are looking for in their instructional design, e-learning.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, what do our professionals do? They spend a tremendous amount of time writing instruction or communicating with stakeholders to write that instruction.
Right.
So, you know, while we were looking for other things like, you know, knowledge of multimedia tools and things like that, what came to the forefront were those core skills that kind of are our identity, if you will.
Well, Albert, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For
we
taking
appreciate
some
it.
Time
no
out. Hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
Hi, we're here with Sharon Smaldino, who is Professor Emeritus at Northern Illinois University, and probably to pretty much all of our listeners, a very well-known person within our field. So Sharon, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you
today.
For the invitation.
And we'll ask you our question of the day here at the AACT conference in Indianapolis is, what do you see as trending right now in our field?
Well, actually, in my experience in the last 2 days, I really think there are two things that I see as big issues that we as professionals in this field need to be addressing, and one of them is ethics and the whole issue of ethical practice and sometimes the tensions or the difficulties we encounter as professionals in this field when we're asked to do something that actually kind of stretches our values or our principles or our, you know, our ethical application of ethics within the context of who we are and what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, how do we deal with those tensions? Plus the whole issue of, as in the area of professional development within the context of our program, our field, is, you know, I know we're talking about dragging people kicking and screaming into this, but there are things that are legally required at this point. You know, the whole issue of accessibility is now becoming an extremely difficult issue to address because a lot of people don't understand it, or they don't, you know, it's like, oh, just have them take a different section, you know, create a separate section for people who have these disabilities. It's like, no, you can't go there. But helping people to understand the laws and the rules and helping them to see how they can adapt and do the things that they need to do. And that was a huge discussion yesterday about us becoming better as professionals to be able to deal with helping our students as they go into the programs and emerge out of the programs, but also working with other professionals within the context of our institutions as to how to deal with those ethical issues that no one's ever really thought about before or encountered before. That's one big trending issue that I see.
That seems very important, yes.
It definitely is, and I was dragged kicking and screaming into becoming quite interested in ethics a couple of years ago, and I've really become very engaged in the idea that we need to look at that whole issue of accessibility more deeply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Having come out of a special ed background, I'm very, very concerned that we ignore a lot of what I call the hidden disabilities, dyslexia, color blindness, hearing loss, but not deafness per se, people with visual problems, and all those things are there and they exist. And you might only have one student in your class, but you have to accommodate that one student. You have to address that one student. You have to figure out what you're doing.
Sharon, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
I'm always exploring new ideas, but this has been one I've been playing around with for quite a while, and I'm really starting to now get a focus, so I'm excited about it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoy the rest of the conference here at ACT.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hi, we're here with John Cowan, who's from Northern Illinois University. And John, I'll let you give us your full credential here. So.
I am a senior research associate in the Division of Outreach, Engagement, and Regional Development.
And John, thank you for joining us here at ACT Indy. And our question of the day is, what do you see trending in our field right now?
It's interesting to me that when we think of trending, I think people's thoughts immediately go to technology. And it just so happens that I came across an article going through some old files last week of current trends you need to keep an eye on. And the date of the article was 1991.
Okay.
And I compared it to, just out of curiosity, to an article of what I should be keeping my eye on now in 2015. And there's about a 90% overlap.
So what do you see? So give us two examples of the key trends.
Distributed learning everywhere, anytime.
Okay.
Technology has reached a saturation point, so there's no longer a digital divide. It's everywhere. And
interesting.
And what I and so it and the job that I'm in right now, I'm much more interested in the human side of the equation.
Okay.
Because I'm responsible for regional development, and what that means for my university is, how do we get new students to come into the school? And our demographics indicate to us that the student to be looking for now is no longer the student graduating from high school, but rather the mid-career professional people.
Okay.
There are 3.5 million people. What's trending is, in the attraction of students, it's going to require moving toward a competency-based view of education. So instead of courses being in 3-unit chunks, it's going to be stringing together demonstrated competencies that, taken together, can culminate in some sort of degree that a person can use to advance their career.
All right. Well, John Cowan, thank you very much for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of AECT.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, hi, we're here with Alex Masoulas from Routledge Publications. He's the educational technology editor. And Alex, thank you very much for joining us.
Sure thing.
We're asking you the question that's on everybody's minds. What do you see currently trending right now in instructional educational technology?
I would say, well, there's a number of things, but I think one that is striking me at the moment would be learning analytics. So as we're able to collect more data across the board about education, how are we going to, you guys are interested in trends and issues,
right.
But so we're able to find trends within the data. What does it mean? What can we do with that knowledge?
What can we do with it?
Yeah. And how are we going to utilize the educational data that we now have access to?
Great. Well, thank you. I mean, I know you're kind of a busy man here at the conference right now. We're glad you could spend a minute with us.
No problem.
So we hope that everyone enjoyed the interviews. And so now we are moving into our two recommended readings for this episode. So Abby, want to take it away with the recommended readings?
Well, I'm sure everybody is mulling over what they heard from the AACT conference. So we kept the recommended readings down to a minimum this week. We have two recommendations. The first one is Think Second Life Died? It has a higher GDP than some countries. This is by Martin Bryant for The Next Web. And Martin points out that their GDP is something like $500 million, that we keep talking about Second Life as being sort of a past innovation, that somehow it sort of lies dead on the floor somewhere. But that ain't the case.
Yeah, and we had a conversation at AECT about that as well.
We did. As a matter of fact, you and I had that conversation with Larry Johnson and Bob Reeser, who are sort of big luminaries in the field. But yes, yeah, so this is a very interesting article. The second one is Why EdTech is Currently the Wild, Wild West by Jennifer Reingold for Fortune. And Ms. Reingold points out, I think quite rightly, that the EdTech industry is currently sort of wide open, that it's there's a lot of jostling for position, especially with MOOC type of organizations like Udacity and Coursera. But I think I would like to just point something out here, is that you and I have used the phrase Wild Wild West numerous times historically, including for something like Second Life when Second Life first began. Because we live in the world of educational technology innovation, we spend a lot of time looking at cutting-edge tools. And so this is just happens to be the next cutting-edge tool, but I think all of us in educational technology are very used to working and experimenting within that Wild West paradigm. So while I think that Ms. Reingold is quite right to point this out as being the Wild Wild West, I would like to add that we're pretty much always in the Wild Wild West with each new innovation.
Okay, those are our two recommended readings. And as a reminder, you can find those on our website in our show notes. And we'll share that website at the end of the podcast. Okay, let's move on to the crystal ball. What are our predictions? What do we think we're going to observe over the next 2 weeks?
Well, I think it's not much of a stretch to say once again.
No, don't tell me. ARVR?
ARVR, augmented reality and virtual reality, definitely top our list. And once again, it has to do with the fact that we're coming into a particular purchasing season, a consumer purchasing season. And I think a lot of companies are gearing up for this sort of thing. One of the things I also would note is that at the AACT conference, sharing with my fellow technophiles, we were looking at some of the Google Cardboard VR options, and now they're making great strides. So instead of having to go through a third party to try and open something in Google Cardboard, you can very much, in many cases, you can just click on an icon and it pops it right up to look at it. The New York Times is experimenting with this. We're going to hear a lot more about VR and a lot more about AR. The other thing we're going to hear a lot more about, we see in the crystal ball, the EdTech industry overall, because this has now, as we've been pointing out over the past 8 months or so, the media now recognizes the EdTech industry as being a very, very high dollar industry with a lot of potential. And you and I suspect that we're going to hear a lot more from the business perspective of EdTech startups and established companies. Finally, we've just started to see a resurgence, a big resurgence in articles that are related to open educational resources. And you and I both suspect strongly that we're going to see a lot more about OER in the next few months. And that's our crystal ball prediction.
Thanks, Abby. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of our 50th episode of our podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening to the trends from various individuals within our field. I know we enjoyed interviewing them, and we'd again like to thank them for being part of this episode. We'd also like to thank our podcast subscribers on iTunes and Stitcher, and to our viewers and followers of our Flipboard magazine. To view the show notes of this episode and previous episodes, and also to listen to past episodes, you can visit our website at trendsandissues.com. The next episode of this podcast will air on November 24th.
This podcast is produced by Professor Abby Brown at East Carolina University and Professor Tim Green at California State University, Fullerton. Copyright Abby Brown and Tim Green,